Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until midnight tonight. Hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. Our phone lines are open. You can call 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'll get you on the air here tonight. And, of course, check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can listen to both of our Sunday night hours. We're on actually 10 o'clock until midnight. Some people only get us at 11 o'clock, and some people only listen in the 10 o'clock hour, but they go to sleep, I guess, before that. But both the 10 o'clock and the 11 o'clock hour are available at our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And we also have a half-hour program on Friday afternoons, our home station here, AM 1220 The Word in Cleveland, Ohio. And you can listen to our half-hour program there. And as I was mentioning in the last hour, I do have it uploaded. It's not on my webpage yet. I've not gotten that far along, but it is uploaded, and I do have it on some of our social media. You can follow us online either on Telegram at Live with Pastor Al. That's if you're familiar with Telegram, that's our channel there, Telegram, Live with Pastor Al. Or you can go like Facebook, Live with Pastor Al. Or we're also on USA Today, Gab, MeWe, True Social, a number of places, Twitter, formerly Twitter, I guess now X, and different things. And you can find Live with Pastor Al, and you can listen to last Friday's program where I had the opportunity to interview Kevin Sorbo in regards to his upcoming film, The Firing Squad, which will be coming out in August. And we were talking about faith-based filmmaking and his movie, The Firing Squad, which is based on a true story of three people who were caught in Indonesia, I think one for drug smuggling, another one fighting and killed a guy on the beach. And they were all from outside of Indonesia, but they were arrested, they were tried, and they were given the death sentence. Indonesia carries out the death sentence to this day by firing squad. And I believe the three characters that the movie was based on were executed in 2015, I think, if I remember correctly. But Kevin Sorbo plays a character who comes to Christ in prison, actually becomes a pastor of a church inside of the prison. And then two of the other main characters also come to Christ while they're incarcerated and waiting their death sentence as well. And so story looks pretty good. Like I said, based on a true story. And if you want to listen to that, go to you can listen to it at livewithpastoral.com. I'll have it listed on there. Or if you go to one of our social media sites like Telegram or Facebook or MeWe or X, which used to be Twitter, you can follow the link there on our Live with Pastor Al social media, and the link right there will take you to that interview right there if you don't want to wait. So that's all available on there, so we encourage you to check that out. But do check out our website. We have some articles that I've got that are written there on that website. Latest one being Behold the Fig Tree, and then of course there's a slew of other ones that are there, and some other materials, some word searches, and of course linked to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor. And certainly if you're in the area, if you're visiting in the area, we encourage you to give us a visit here at the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. And we are a small church. Don't look for a building with a steeple. We meet in a commercial strip, and so you got to look for our door. And I'll have more information on that later on in the program, but we're midway between Akron and Cleveland, and the church is located at 4889. I'm sorry, that's the wrong address. You're looking at something else there. 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200. That's 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, Ohio. All right, well, we're going to get on to some other things here as well, too, some other information business that we sort of take care of here a little bit, too. But if you have a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And I was looking at the calendar. Today's the 19th of May. There's only one more Sunday left in May, May 26th. And from today, the reason I mentioned that is for those who listen to us on Faith Talk Tampa in Florida. I just want to let you know that we have been on there for the last 2 years. We were on there for the last 2 years because, basically somebody provided the money for us to be on, and they paid essentially a year in advance each time, 2 years in a row. Well, unfortunately, they're not doing that this year, not able to do that this year. And so as a consequence, our time in Tampa will run out next week. And I just wanted to mention as we look towards next week that we have enjoyed our time being on Faith Talk Tampa, and I hope we've been a blessing to people in Florida. But just to let you know, if you want to keep listening, you can follow us online. I broadcast from AM 1220, The Word, another Salem station up in the Cleveland area. And you can find us online. You can find AM 1220, The Word online. You can go to thewordcleveland.com. That's quite simple right there, thewordcleveland.com, or you can just do whkwradio.com. Either one will get you there. thewordcleveland.com or whkwradio.com. I'm sure if you get confused and you just do a search for AM 1220 in Cleveland, Ohio, you're bound to find us somehow or another, AM 1220 The Word, or just look up the Salem stations and find the one that's here in Cleveland, and you can find us. And we are not going off air. We just no longer have the funds. We're a very small church, and so we were dependent on that. A few years ago, we were on in Tampa for a couple of years, again at that time, and it was because of gifts, some special gifts that were given to us to put us on the radio there. And so we've enjoyed it. We'll talk more about it again next week, but just want to give people a heads up that we got this week, and our contract runs through the end of the month. So the 26th, a week from tonight, be our final night on Faith Talk Tampa. And not that we want to go. It's just that financial realities being what it is, and if $10,000 mysteriously appears next week, I'm sure they could get us extended on there for a little while. But whatever the case is, we're just thankful and hope that we've been a blessing to people while we've been on the air in Florida. But in the meanwhile, we are a live program. And you can join us tonight if you've got questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. We'd love to have you tonight. And our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. A couple things I wanted to mention. I heard some things as I was coming up here on the news, and one of them, I was trying to figure out what I was hearing when I first heard it, and I was hearing about a Turkish drone finding a crash field and some of the things that were going on. And then as I was piecing things together, what appears to have happened is the Iranian president Ibrahim Raisi, I think it is. He was in a helicopter. This, of course, they're, 7 hours or so ahead of us, I think, in Iran. His helicopter went down in a remote area of Iran. I believe the weather was kind of dicey, heavy fog and things like that. And I haven't seen a whole lot of updates on it as of yet. But he is feared, believed to be dead as a result. This is the president of Iran. And when you look at what's happening in the Middle East right now and the tension between Iran and Israel, no doubt there's going to be some finger pointing at Israel, and we'll have to, you know, keep an eye on what's happening there. As I said, I heard that a Turkish drone had gone over the area and was providing pictures of what appeared to be a debris field, a crash site, where the helicopter is believed to have gone down. And I guess there's a number of search efforts underway. You know, there's always, I guess they have the hope that they will be able to find him. But from what I've seen so far, it doesn't look too good. This individual, President Raisi, he is, he's got quite a history himself. He had a nickname that comes from, I believe it was back during the, remember the hostage crisis in the late 70s, which was kind of the undoing of the Carter presidency? He earned a bit of a nickname back then, and since then, in the 1980s, with the mass executions of political prisoners, and then later in 2022, crackdown on young Iranians protesting against the mandatory hijabs and other religious rules in Iran, and he earned the nickname the Butcher of Tehran. And, you know, we pray for people to get saved, but quite frankly, if this individual died in this helicopter crash right now, he would be like the rich man in the Gospel of Luke, the rich man in Lazarus. Remember, I believe it was Luke 16, where the rich man died and in hell lift up his eyes in torment. And, you know, this... there's, you know, we can't sugarcoat it. This man is a dedicated Islamist, a man that is hostile to Christianity and certainly to the Bible and Bible-believing Christians. And as a consequence, you know, he is an individual that surely he... if he died in this thing in hell, he lift up his eyes being in torment. And of course, we don't wish that on anybody. Certainly this gives us, more incentive to want to pray for people. And you can see the account that Jesus gave in Luke chapter 16, starting in verse 19, where it says, "There was a certain rich man which is clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now He is comforted, thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. And a lot of people think that this is a parable, and the problem with that is there's nothing here that identifies it with a parable. Another problem is that in a parable is a story that's usually revolving around earthly things that everybody could identify with, and then it gives a spiritual application, a spiritual point that it teaches. And another thing with parables is people are not named in a parable. You know, we have a certain rich man who's not named, and there may be a reason that it's not named, because God didn't want him and his family known. But there's other people who are named in this story, this account. First and foremost, of course, is Lazarus. There's a certain rich man, it says in verse 19, but in verse 20 it says, there was a certain beggar named Lazarus. So we have Lazarus named. And then, as you go a little further down, it's talked about the rich man being in hell, it says in verse 22, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried in hell. He lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. So Abraham is mentioned by name. Lazarus is mentioned by name. Parables don't do that. I believe that what we have here is an account that Jesus gives us of something that we would not normally be able to understand or ascertain on our own. And so what God has given to us here is an insight as to what takes place when we die. Now, keep in mind, this took place prior to the cross, and we'll come back to that in a minute. But we have Lazarus, who, though he was poor and a beggar and in poor health, apparently was a righteous man. And he believed God, he believed the scriptures. And so when he died, the Bible says that he was carried into Abraham's bosom. Now, Abraham, of course, is Father Abraham, father of the Jewish people. Abraham, of course, through his son Isaac and through Isaac's son Jacob, and then, of course, the 12 sons of Jacob. Jacob was renamed Israel by God, and that's where we get the name Israel. And so this is an area where the dead, the righteous dead, were placed, Abraham's bosom, and elsewhere in Scripture referred to as paradise. And now there's where Lazarus, the beggar, goes. The rich man, on the other hand, dies, and the Bible says in verse 23, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. So immediately after death, he didn't stop, and wait around a little bit. He didn't wait until he passed go and collected $200 or anything like that. He immediately found himself in torments in hell. And this shows and also reminds us that there are not disembodied spirits that are wandering around the earth like some people think. You know, every once in a while you'll get people talking about, are ghosts real? I heard a radio program one time years ago where somebody was asking, it was a Christian radio program, and I have no doubt that the people on the program love the Lord, but sometimes there's things that, You know, you just wonder why people say it when they're trying to proclaim the word of God. Somebody asked them about ghosts, and they said, I don't know nothing about ghosts, praise the Lord. Meaning they didn't know anything to be able to comment on it. Well, I'm sorry. We ought to be able to comment intelligently on such things. If when you die, here's the righteous man, Lazarus, immediately going into Abraham's bosom. Now, keep in mind, again, as I said, this was before the cross. Now, Paul says that instead of going into Abraham's bosom in 2 Corinthians and chapter number 5, he says this in verse 6, therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, we walk by faith, not by sight. Verse 8, we are confident, I say, willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. When we die, we go directly into the Lord's presence today. And I'll come back to some of that if time allows, but the idea for the righteous dead, when you die, and certainly today, if you die with your faith in Christ, you're not going to hang around and haunt the place where you died. You're not going to be stumbling around in the dark of the night during a full moon or whatever, haunting some place because you don't know that you're dead. When you die, absent from the body, Paul says, means to be present with the Lord. Well, where is Jesus right now? Well, the Bible says that when Jesus ascended up into heaven on the day of Pentecost, he was received up in a cloud, and now the Bible talks about him being in heaven at the right hand of the Father. So being in the presence of the Lord when you die as a believer, what does that mean? You're in heaven. You're not hanging around here. You know, it never ceases to amaze me how many times there's a story, you know, where somebody died tragically somewhere and their spirit still haunts the place because they don't know they're dead. Well, the reason they don't know they're dead, if that were the case, is because they're brain dead and they can't understand, hey, I've been hanging around the same place for 100 years. My clothes don't get old. I'm only stuck in this one spot. I can't go anywhere else. And everybody runs away when they see me. You think they'd figure out that they weren't having their best life ever. You think they'd realize they were dead, but then, of course, if they're brain dead, the thoughts would never occur to them. No, the fact of the matter is, when you die as a believer, even if you could hang around on earth, why would you when you can be present with the Lord in heaven? I mean, you're not going to want to hang around here because you're present with the Lord. Why would you want to come back and hang around here? I mean, you miss people that you love. I did a funeral this past week. Dear lady, who I have every confidence that when she closed her eyes in death in this world, she opened her eyes in heaven with her Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What a tremendous assurance. I'm sure she misses her family and loved ones here on earth, but at the same time, I don't think she's going to leave heaven to come back and hang around here on earth. Well, what about the unrighteous dead? Well, it said the rich man died, and it said he was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. So immediately he was in hell, in torment. And he sees Abraham, and he cries to Abraham, and he says, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. You know, that's what the Bible talks about, hellfire, the fire of hell. He's tormented, he says, in this flame. Now, he didn't have the option of hanging around on earth where he died and haunting that place. Now, to be fair, if he could, I'm sure he would. Because according to Luke chapter 16, he's in hell in torments, tormented in the flame, seeking comfort. If he could get out of there somehow and go back and haunt the place where he lived, I'm sure he'd rather do that than hang out in hellfire, tormented in the flame. So those that die as a righteous person, they're with the Lord. They wouldn't come back even if they could. Those that die without Christ, of course, unrighteous dead, they're tormented in the flame. If they would, they could, but they can't. So who's doing the haunting? Well, it's certainly not the departed, righteous or unrighteous. Who's doing the haunting then? Well, it's very simple. Bible talks about fallen angels and describes them as familiar spirits. And I've had people say, well, I know it was the ghost of so-and-so because they knew things that only so-and-so knew. Well, they might have known things that only so-and-so the human being knew, but how about a fallen spirit that's followed them around and is familiar with them? The Bible calls them a familiar spirit. And so when so-and-so dies, this familiar spirit, all they have to do is imitate him. And they know things that they knew, and they can tell you about things that they talked about, and even point out where something might be hidden that they hid or whatever, because they're familiar with the departed, and they mimic him. And they say, somebody says, well, why would they do that? It's in order to get you to not believe the Bible. The Bible says, absent from the body for the believer means to be present with the Lord, not hanging around, interacting with people. And for the unrighteous dead, like the rich man in hell, they lift up their eyes in torment. They are not hanging around on the earth interacting with people. But the fallen angels, of course, in order to try to deceive people and confuse people, they're more than happy to imitate the departed and make people think that even when you die, you can still come back and hang around and do whatever. Well, we're going to come up on the break here, I'm sure, and then maybe on the other side of the break, we'll continue on some of this. But what we're looking at here is an interesting depiction of the conditions prior to the cross. The rich man, in torments, looks up and he sees Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. Now he's not talking about comfort and all that as being a requirement or disbarment from where they are located now. He's just reminding him what his life was like. You know, you lived in comfort. Lazarus, the beggar outside your gate, you didn't care at all about his condition then. You didn't reach out to him. Why should he be reaching out to you? But even if he wanted to, he says this in verse 26, and beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. He says, look, we can see each other, we can talk to each other, but there's a great gulf between us, and you can't come over here, we can't come over there. If we wanted, even if Lazarus took pity on you and said, can I please drip a little bit of water on his tongue to cool him and help him, he can't do it even if he wanted to. And no matter how bad somebody on your side might want to come over here for a little relief, you can't come over here either. It's impossible. There's a gulf fixed between us, and no one can pass from one side to the other. And so when the rich man realizes that there's no hope for him, he then suddenly begins to think about others. And he says this in verse 27. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house. In other words, if Lazarus can't come over here and bring some relief to me, can you send him back to the land of the living, where he can go to my five brethren and testify to them? He says, I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them that they also come not into this place, or that they also come, lest they also come into this place of torment. He said, I don't want them to come here. I don't want them to see them suffering what I'm suffering. If Lazarus could just be sent to them, maybe he could testify to them and they would see the light. And they wouldn't have to come to the same place that I am. And Abraham says to him in verse 29, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. Meaning they've got the scripture, let them hear the scripture. They go to the synagogue. Many of them might have been religious individuals. Let them hear the scripture. Let them see what Moses and the prophets have to say. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. You know, it's a nice thought. But later on, one did go to them from the dead. That was Jesus Christ. Remember, he died on the cross. He was buried. And he rose again the third day victorious over sin and death. And when he came, people still didn't believe, did they? Still didn't believe. And that's what Abraham said. If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. If someone will not listen to the scriptures, they're not going to listen to somebody rising from the dead. And they didn't in Christ. Well, stay tuned. We've got another half hour to go. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on the radio. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can find out more about me and about the program there. You can also link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church. And we'd love to have you join us sometime if you're ever up in the area. So check us out, livewithpastoral.com. I was out running some errands Saturday morning, and I was listening to radio and some recap of some of the news and everything. And I caught a story out of Quantico, the Marine base there in Virginia, Quantico. And the story at the time when I first caught it, they talked about a box truck with two individuals, a Jordanian national that was uh, a basically here illegally, had come across the southern border, I guess, and another, it turns out to be another Jordanian as well that was in the truck with them, who's also on the terror watch list, of all things. And they had showed up at Quantico. Came to the front gate at Quantico there, outside, about 36 miles or so outside of D.C., I believe it is, and they claimed that they were basically contracted to go in and deliver some things for Amazon, I believe it was. And they spoke with the guards at the base. But the problem was they didn't have the right credentials, and they didn't provide any approved access credentials to the base. They wanted to go in to the Quantico town's post office, which is located within the base. And so the officers, the security military police there, they directed the truck to a holding area so that they could more closely examine them and vet them before letting them on base. And they noticed that the driver, instead of sitting there in the holding area, continued to move the truck forward, attempting to go past the holding area and to gain access to Quantico. And the action from the people manning the gate, they used some vehicle denial barriers they triggered in order to be able to stop them from gaining access to the base. And they detained the occupants and later turned them over to ICE. They started investigating them and found out, of course, that one was a Jordanian foreign national who recently crossed the southern border of the United States illegally, and the other, who also turned out to be Jordanians, on a terrorist watch list. And so you say, what were they doing? Well, this is interesting because recently there seems to have been a series of these events. 2 days after this incident at Quantico, another vehicle crashed into the outer perimeter gate of the White House in Washington, D.C. The driver in that particular case had died. And I've not seen anything that gave the identity of that particular individual. But we saw that happen there. And then at the Joint Expeditionary Base in Little Creek, Fort Story in Virginia, on April the 28th, a driver attempted to breach security protocols at the installation's gate and crashed into a hydraulic barricade there. And unfortunately, the car was, truck burst into flame, and they were unable to extinguish the fire in time, and the driver died in that particular one as well. We go back a little bit further on, April 3rd, naval base at San Diego. They had a security incident where a vehicle there tried to go through the Norman Scott Gate, an unmarked vehicle, in this particular case belonging to the base's security team. I guess this one actually might have been a test or something, maybe, I'm going to guess. Unmarked vehicle belonging to the base's security team breached the gate without stopping, prompting the activation of the emergency barricades, and the collision injured three of the occupants, including two civilian officers and one active duty military member. So that one's kind of an outlier, I guess, April 3rd. But on March 27th at 29 Palms in California, we had a Chinese national who made a brazen attempt to gain access to the Marine Corps Air Ground Combat Center. And despite being informed by military police that he lacked authorization, he proceeded past the gate guards, prompting immediate intervention by law enforcement there. And he was detained and transferred to Customs and Border Patrol custody. And, you know, we've had these things going on. Let's see. Here's another couple of them. Let me see here. We had in December. Another one here in December, right in Tampa, Florida, at MacDill Air Force Base. There was a man who identified himself as Captain America. Obviously, he was not operating at 100% here himself. But this guy here at MacDill tried to barge into the base in December. And he became argumentative, threatened to come back, and of course, he was detained by security personnel, and they searched his vehicle. They did locate an AR-15 in the trunk, as well as 5 magazines loaded with 126 rounds of ammunition. And then back in October, Air Force security personnel were forced to actually fire several shots in self-defense when a driver breached the main entry point to Joint Base San Antonio Camp Bulls in Texas, according to the base. And a Joint Base San Antonio Fort Sam Houston spokesman said the driver drove towards the gate at a high rate of speed in the wrong direction of traffic. And so we've had several of these things happening, and you wonder what is going on. What is going on? One of the suspicions that's been put forward in some of these cases, obviously not in all of them, but in some of these cases, such as the one at Quantico most recently here on May 3rd, is that this may potentially be some form of dry run, some form of an effort to probe our domestic military bases on behalf of perhaps some groups like Al-Qaeda or ISIS to see how far they can get a truck into base or how base security works to try and prevent it so they can circumvent base security. And they're bringing these panel trucks in, these box trucks in. And so the suspicion, according to former Navy SEAL Robert O'Neill, he said that it looks like it was a test run, talking about there in Quantico, for something else like truck bombs, because they tried to get in saying they were delivery drivers, then sped up as the barricades popped up. In other words, they tried to get around before the barricades popped up. And so this is what appears to be happening. And we need to be on guard in our own country today. We see the things that are happening in the world, and no doubt many people who have been involved in America's war on terror, they were stationed in Afghanistan, in Iraq, and other places, they experience these things there, but it is unsettling to hear of these reports and see that they're happening here. And I say, what's going on? Well, I look at this, and then I think, you know, we've got an administration today in the White House that has been turning against our strongest ally in the Middle East, which is Israel. And more than just turning against an ally, Israel, in the Middle East, we are also turning against someone that God said he will bless those that bless them and curse those that curse them. And this is a dangerous area in which to be in. Look at the severe weather that we've been having lately. The other night, the severe winds in the south, Gulf states and along the Gulf Shore and everything from Texas up through some of the Gulf states there. It was the severe winds taking out windows in high rises in Houston, Texas, right in town, you know, 20, 30 floors up and all. And we had individuals being killed in these things and these tornadoes that we've been having and the numbers of people who have been killed and injured. And the fact that inflation is not coming down, it continues to rise. Although I do have to remember my favorite quote by, unfortunately, I can't remember the administration official that said it, but it's not inflation, it's just that prices are higher, right? But we see these things happening, And I keep coming back to the fact that God said he'd bless those that bless Israel and curse those that curse Israel. And here is Israel trying to go in to eliminate the last of the Hamas strongholds there in the Gaza Strip. And they're being told not to. And one of the worst things in Rafah there, and you know, the idea that our administration said we have information as to where hostages are being held, and we're going to withhold that information from you unless you do what we tell you to do and not go in and leave and end the war. And, you know, Israel didn't ask for that war. They didn't ask to be attacked on October 7th. They didn't ask for Hamas and the people of Gaza to swarm in to Israel and to kill innocent Israeli men, women, and children in horrific fashion. They did not ask, and I said Hamas and the people of Gaza, because when you look at what happened, it wasn't merely Hamas members. It was the average people in Gaza that came across the border and raped and brutally tortured and killed people. You know, there's videos, and I had somebody actually say one time, do you think that they really did that? I think that the Israelis did it to themselves just to blame them, to have an excuse to go in. What utter nonsense. Actually, it's more than nonsense. It's disgusting that people would say that. I told the person, I said, listen, one of the reasons we know it was Hamas and the people of Gaza is that they took videos of it with their cell phones, sent it to their family members back in Gaza, bragging, saying, hey, mom, I just killed a dozen or six Jews or whatever it was, and showed the picture, their bloody hands and the people that they killed. They were proud of it. You know, they killed children in front of their parents and then killed the parents. They threw babies in ovens. They beheaded babies. They raped women so brutally that the women's pelvises were broken. I mean, this is sick. It's depraved. It's satanic. And we're supposed to forget all this. I was listening to somebody. They were speaking with somebody at one of these college encampments. And they were saying, well, what are you protesting? And they said, well, we're protesting the Israeli occupation of Gaza. And said, well, you know that back in, I want to say 2015, I'm trying to think exactly what the year was, that the Israelis pulled out completely and gave the entire Gaza Strip over to them. Oh, we didn't know that. No, no Israelis are living there. Oh, we didn't know that. So what? What was the occupation going on? Are they there now? Yes, they are. And they're doing it because of self-defense. More Jews were killed in Israel on October 7th on any one day since the Holocaust. And yet there's these people who are saying Israel's the aggressor. I mean, what would happen if that happened to us? What if our nation was being subject to rocket attacks every day? Multiple attacks every day, rockets and missiles out of Mexico, out of Canada, raining down on us. And then we had a horrific attack where I think proportionately you'd have to go up to about 50,000 people being killed to make it the same proportions. And what would we do? How would we respond? How do we respond in World War II, the attack at Pearl Harbor? How do we respond in World War II in Nuremberg and other places in Europe? And we went in and numerous people were killed. How did the Israelis respond? Well, before they went in and bombed places, they dropped leaflets saying, listen, there's a Hamas arms depot underneath this school or next to this church or underneath this wing of the hospital. There's a Hamas missile launcher in this schoolyard or on top of this apartment building. We're going to take it out. We suggest that you move to a safer place immediately because in a couple of hours we're going to take it out. What army does that before taking out such a target? Or how about this? What army calls on people's cell phones in Hamas, or I'm sorry, in Gaza, and says, listen, this is the Israeli Defense Forces. We're going to be taking out a rocket launcher that's there in the park next to your apartment building. We suggest that you evacuate so that you're not injured when we take this rocket launcher out. What army does that? Does ours do that? I don't know that we would do that. But the Israeli army was doing that, and somehow they're vilified as monsters when the real monsters are those in the Gaza Strip, and Israel is going back now doing the only thing that they can do in order, in the hopes, I should say, that they will protect themselves in the future by removing those that are a threat to them, and that's Hamas. Well, you know, it's difficult. You know, do you ever stop to think none of the Muslim countries around Israel and Gaza will take the Palestinians as refugees? Egypt doesn't want them. Jordan doesn't want them. Syria doesn't want them. And why don't they want them? Lebanon doesn't want them. Why don't they want them? Because they know that they're a problem. You know, Jordan, which, believe it or not, was the first land for peace deal. When you look at Israel, when it was originally set up under the Balfour Declaration following World War I, there was an area set aside as a Jewish homeland that included all of present-day Israel as well as present-day Jordan. And it was to be the Jewish homeland in the Middle East because, of course, that's where the Jews lived. God gave the land of Canaan to Jacob and his descendants. That was the promised land. Remember, he actually took Abraham down there out of Ur of the Chaldees originally after a short diversion to Haran. Abraham wound up down there, and he lived there. And then, of course, his son Ishmael lived there. They, at various times due to famine and whatever, they sojourned briefly in Egypt or somewhere. And then, of course, during Jacob's time, they went down to Egypt during the famine. Remember, Joseph had been sold into slavery by his brothers, and he was eventually wound up in Egypt. And he eventually wound up second only to Pharaoh in Egypt when Pharaoh had the dream about the seven good ears of corn and the seven withered and blasted ears and the seven full-fleshed cattle and then the seven skinny famished cattle. And the idea was that there would be 7 years of plenty and then 7 years of severe famine. And Pharaoh promoted Joseph to second in all of Egypt, second only to Pharaoh. And remember, Joseph, as you read through the book there in Genesis, he had the people bring in from the harvest during the 7 years of plenty a significant portion of the harvest, which was stored, so that when the 7 years of famine came on the land, they had grain stored up, plenty of grain stored up for the famine. And during that time, Jacob and Joseph's remaining brothers, his 11 brothers in Canaan, were running short on grain, and they sent representatives to Egypt in order to purchase grain. And they didn't know that Joseph, their brother, was the man they were dealing with on the first trip. And I'm just running through a long story real briefly here. We don't have time to go through all of it. We're quickly coming to the end of the program. But the long and short of it is Joseph eventually reveals himself to his family, his brothers, and then urges them to bring their father and all down where he can take care of them during the remaining years of famine. And then they did. And then they ended up staying in Egypt for a while until there arose a Pharaoh that knew not Joseph. And then as a result, they cried out for a deliverer. God raised up Moses, who, of course, led them out. And we, of course, the Jewish people celebrate that at Passover. And then they were to head back to the promised land, the land of Canaan. that God had for them. Of course, they balked at the River Jordan. They didn't want to go in, and so God had them wander for 40 years in the wilderness and then eventually brought them in. Well, we have all of this happening, and we can see that land was given to them. And the land of Canaan, the inhabitants were wicked and vile. They were not the people who inhabited the land when the nation of Israel became a nation in 1948. The Canaanites died out, were destroyed. The Philistines, who are the Palestinians, get yourself King James Bible, compare the word Philistine or Philistia and Palestine, Palestinians, you'll find it's the same word. In fact, both of them occur in the King James Bible. The Philistines were an ancient Hamitic people. They weren't descendants of Abraham like the Arabs of today are, and the Muslim or the Jews of today are. They were a Hamitic people from Noah's son Ham. The Jewish people and the Arab people are descendant of Abraham, who's a descendant of Noah's son Shem. So they're Semitic peoples. And the Philistines, they died out. It was Rome, when Rome kicked the Jewish people out of the land in the second century, they renamed it Philistia after the ancient enemies of the Jews. And that, of course, in English became Palestine. And so when the Balfour Declaration allotted a Jewish homeland, it was British Palestine. And so everybody that lived there was called a Palestinian, Jew, Gentile, Muslim, Zoroastrian, Christian, it didn't matter. If you lived there, you were a Palestinian. Now the word Palestinian is kind of restricted to those who are in Gaza and mostly Arab Muslims and such. And Jordan was a country formed land for peace. They took off three quarters of the land set aside as a Jewish homeland to bring peace to the area. And so the Jordanians are basically the same people who were in the Gaza Strip. And later, when the Gazans came in, and Hamas and all that, they tried to destabilize the Jordanian monarchy and cause such problem that Jordan won't let them in. Caused problems in Egypt as well. And now, of course, the current administration wants to bring them here. Well, when we're siding with Hamas, it's no wonder that bad things are happening. God said, "I'll bless those that bless Israel and curse those that curse Israel." And when we look at these probings of our military bases here in the States, I worry about this country. Pray for our country, but don't give up hope. Keep your heads up. Look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. God bless.
You've been listening to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Read articles on a variety of topics by Pastor Al at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to join him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and then every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoll.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 10 to midnight. And again, next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.